Lord God, it is staggering to think about what you did when you went to the cross, what you did to take away sin, and yet we continue to allow other things into our lives to worship. Lord, the idea that we would not worship you with every single thought is discouraging. And yet, we know that you are who you said you were, and we love you. And so keep us close to you, Lord, in your name. Amen. This morning, we come to the Lord's table. And as we do, I want to put one sentence in front of you. You become what you worship. Whatever you're looking at, whatever you're giving yourself to, it's shaping you right now. It's not neutral. It's doing something to you. And that's not something I made up. The prophet Hosea watched it happen to a whole nation. And he tells it by telling us about a calf. So we're going to turn to the book of Hosea this morning. And if you don't have a Bible, we'd love to put one in your hand so that you can look at it with us. There are men in the front that would love to give you a Bible. Just raise your hand. They'll bring it to you. If you don't own a Bible, this is our gift we'd love for you to have. We'd love for every single person to have God's word in their hands, on their lap, reading about what the Lord of the universe says about himself. And so we're going to look at the book of Hosea. We're going to do three things. We're going to watch Israel make a calf. And then we're going to watch Israel become like a calf. And then we're going to look at Christ and come to the Lord's table together. Because what we're looking at is making us into something. In Hosea 8:4, God is speaking about the northern kingdom. Israel, Ephraim, Samaria, and he lays out what they've done. They set up kings, but not by him. They appointed princes he never knew. And with their own silver and gold, they made themselves idols. And God says it was all so that they might be cut off. They funded their own undoing. And God rejected the calf of Samaria, and his anger burns against them. And so we come this morning to Hosea chapter 8, verse 6. And in this verse, God's word says, "For from Israel even this, a craftsman made it, so it is not God. Surely the calf of Samaria will be smashed to splinters." Look at that middle line. A craftsman made it, so it is not God. He doesn't argue about a calf. He just says, "Who built it?" And that's the end of the conversation. This wasn't a phase they grew out of. They sinned more and more, making molded images for themselves, idols out of their own silver, according to their own understanding. All of it the work of craftsmen. And this line, "Let the men who sacrifice kiss the calves." They built the thing, and then they kissed it. They built it, and they worshiped what they had built. The Hebrew word for idols in this book is a word that means exactly that, a made object, something fashioned by human hands. The name says it plainly. It's a made thing. You're bowing to something you built. You paid for the silver yourself. A craftsman made it, so it is not God, and they kissed it anyway. And so what did that make them become? Turn back a page or two and look at Hosea 4:16. "So Israel is stubborn like a stubborn heifer. Can Yahweh now feed them like a lamb in a large field? They kissed a calf, and God says they become a stubborn heifer." That word for stubborn in the Hebrew carries both things at once, stubbornness and rebelliousness. It's the word the Old Testament reaches for again and again to describe Israel against Yahweh. It's not a personality trait. It's an attitude towards God. And once they become like a calf, they get the calf's future. The calf gets smashed to splinters in verse 6, and now the same thing is coming for God's people. They sow the wind, and they reap the whirlwind. They plant nothing, and they harvest a storm. What little grain comes up makes no flour, and strangers eat what's left. Everything they worked for comes to nothing. And then Hosea stacks up the pictures of what these people have turned into. A morning cloud that's gone by nine. Dew that's dried up before the day even gets going. Chaff the wind lifts off the threshing floor. Smoke out of a chimney. It's all here for a minute, and then it's gone. A made thing doesn't last, and neither does the person who builds his life on it. The last picture is the calf itself. When Assyria comes, they crate up the golden calf and haul it off as a tribute. And the people stand at the border weeping over their god while somebody else carts it away. You cannot protect the thing you worship if it can't protect itself. Wind, whirlwind, morning cloud, chaff, smoke, you become what you worship, and then you go where it goes. A pastor named James Montgomery Boyce wrote about this section of Hosea and how we should read it. He says, "We try to excuse ourselves. That is our nature. We say that these things are true of others, but not of ourselves. Now we are to be shown that they are indeed true of us, and that we, as well as others, are condemned." Let me put it plainly. The reason this passage is safe to read is that we've all quietly decided it's about somebody else. And Boyce tells us, no, it's about you. I think he's right. I don't think any of us own a calf, maybe. But I think all of us are worshiping something. And I think what we're worshiping is shaping us. Think about the things that are shaping you. Maybe it's your phone. A craftsman made it. Somebody designed it. You carry it every waking hour of the day. And it doesn't just sit there, it shapes you. It makes you distracted. It makes you restless. 10 minutes in a quiet room with nothing to look at feels like punishment. Or maybe something much harder to think about. Maybe it's something you love, like your kids. And if they turn out how you think they should be, you're going to be okay. But if they turn out like something different, and it destroys you, maybe they're your calf. Israel kissed a dead thing, and it made them dead, and your calf will do the same to you. But Christ. Look back at Hosea 4:7. The more they multiplied, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into disgrace. The more they multiplied, God says, the more they sinned against him, and he will change their glory, and he will exchange it for disgrace. Psalm 106 tells us exactly what they took in the deal. They exchanged their glory for the image of an ox that eats grass, the same trade their fathers made at Sinai. They made the glory of the living God, and they traded it for a picture of a cow chewing grass. And that's a trade we could make too. It's a trade we often make. But Christ. Christ took the disgrace. He was stripped, he was mocked, he was hanged. He took the shame that belonged to us, and he did it gladly because he chose to. And he gave back to us the glory we traded away. He got the shame, and we get the glory. And that's why we're about to eat and drink. In a minute, we'll say the words Paul received from the Lord and handed down from the night he was betrayed. The bread that we take, the cracker, it was his body. It was broken for us. The cup stands for his blood poured out for us. We're not doing the sacrifice again. It was finished at the cross. We're remembering it. We're proclaiming it. And as often as we do this, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This time right now, this morning, is worship. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord in the Spirit." Beholding and being transformed. It's the same principle Hosea preached, but it goes the other way. You become what you worship. Israel looked at a calf and became stubborn and brittle and gone by morning. And we look at Christ, and we're being made like him from glory to glory, and he's the one doing it. Now, a word about who comes. Paul says in verse 27 that whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. And in verse 28, he gives the remedy. A man must test himself, and in doing so, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So test yourself. But be clear about what you're testing for. An unworthy manner means unbelief. Coming to this time without Christ. Or it means sin that you know about and won't let go of. It does not mean you're worthy enough this week. None of us are worthy enough. None of us ever will be. If you failed this week or had a bad week, this time is for you. Come to the cross, confess your sin, and worship. But if God is not the Lord of your life, please let the elements pass by. But we are so happy you're here. We love to participate in this service with you. We love for you to be here and hear about the one who saved us, the one who went to the cross for us, the one whom we worship. There will be a couple over here that would love to talk to you after the service, or come find me, or come find anyone. They'd love to tell you about their Savior. But please let the elements pass by. Christian, we don't come to kiss a dead calf. We come to remember a living Christ who died for us and rose and is coming back. We come to worship him. So take the bread, take the cup, look to him, and take communion on your own this morning. I'll come back and close our time.